Good morning. Good morning. Hallo Bora. Baie welkom. There's so much more in the Word. The Word is alive. It's not just the letter. It's the Spirit that makes and gives life. Let me just touch on a few points, then I want to take it just a little bit further this morning. Not a lot of time needed. I hope you've seen when in Daniel 2:38, 2:37, when Daniel unveiled or, you know, reminded the king what was his vision, his dream about. He said, "You, O king," he's talking to the king of Babylon. "You, O king, are the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has just given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory." Hello? "And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the sky, he has given them into your hand and has caused you to rule over them all. You are the head of gold." If you compare that with Genesis 1, verses 27, 128, "And God blessed them," Adam and Eve, "and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that comes and moves on the earth." Quite a similarity there. Now here's what I get from it. The stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands is referring to Jesus. He was born not of the seed of man, but the Holy Spirit came over Mary and she conceived. Jesus was born from the Holy Spirit over Mary. Jesus was born without the hands of man, so to speak. Are you with me? So this stone hit that big image that he dreamt of on the feet and toes of clay and iron mixed that didn't mix well and crushed it. It became dust. The stone that struck the statue became a great mountain, or other translations, became a large rock. So the stone became a rock. Back into Matthew 3:16. "You are the stone, Peter, upon which my..." No, he says, "Peter, you are the stone, but upon the rock I will build my church." Petros Petra in the original. So here's where the two scripture passages meet. But what I want you to see is that stone, that large rock, eventually filled the whole earth. It filled the whole earth. We talk about Christ in us, the hope of glory. We talk about the church into whose hands was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. "And whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Can you see the similarity here? Now it says, that stone, when it crushed that whole image, everything, gold, silver, including the gold, including the head of gold, became dust and was blown away. What I'm seeing here is God is saying in this vision, and there's many other New Testament scriptures that will confirm this, God has had enough of the kingdom of man. It's the kingdom of God that will fill the earth, not the kingdoms of man. I don't care how smart man has become, and I mean man is becoming very smart. They are soon going to create human beings. They're going to create stuff. They're going to transplant brains into people. I mean, you know what they're experimenting. If you know what's going on behind closed doors in laboratories, it'll scare you. It'll scare you. They're experimenting, trying to create human beings. God will reach, this will reach a time, a place in God, and you will say, "I've had enough. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with the coming of the Son of Man." In the days of Noah, God looked at the earth He looked at what's happening on this planet. And God said, I've had enough. I've had enough. And was it not that he found a man, Noah, whose only testimony was that he had a walk with God? If it wasn't for him, that eight people were saved. Eight always a sign of new beginnings. The rest of humanity was wiped away. My mind baffled to get hold of that. But that's happened. So the kingdom of God, and I want to say the kingdom of God and Christ within us, you can't separate the two. It must fill the earth. But I want to take it a little bit further this morning and go to the words that Jesus uttered in Matthew 21. Matthew 21 from verse 42. Grasp this. I'm not going to be long. Just a few minutes. In Matthew 21 from verse 42. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? Think. What is the underlying theme of this word last week and this week? What is the underlying theme? God is looking for those that can be administrators of the mystery. Grasp that. He's looking for an administration suitable that can administrate the mystery. Now, Jesus quoted the scripture from the Old Testament. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, verse 43, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. Why? Because there was no fruit. No fruit. It will be taken away from you and given to a nation. It's going to be given to the United States of America. No. It's going to be given to the Republic of South Africa. No. Not any nation. It's going to be given to a nation called the Holy Nation. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. The Holy Nation, which is put together from people from all the nations of the earth that are born again. So he's going to give the keys of the kingdom to the church built on the large rock. He says, it will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the fruit of it. And Matthew, the next verse is scary. And he who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. But on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. Folks, ons moet die evangelie 'n bietjie meer ernstiger opneem. The gospel is not some joke, some story. We're handling something very precious in the eyes of God. Very precious. Now I'm going to jump into Ephesians because I want to bring us to a point. Ephesians 3, verse 2 says, if you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace, the stewardship of God's grace. Now, look at me. Stewards, builders, administrators. I'm bringing that in one. Stewards, administrators, and builders. Now, that scripture there that says, the stone that was rejected by the builders, the administrators, the stewards, the stone that was rejected by them became the chief cornerstone. Now, in a sense, Jesus was talking to the Jewish nation who had the first opportunity to accept and recognize who Jesus was. And he said, you haven't, so I'm going to take the kingdom away from you and give it to a nation, a holy nation, who will bring forth the fruit of the kingdom. But here's the warning signal. Here's the warning signal. God is looking for an administration suitable. You might as well bump yourself. And he's talking to me. Bump yourself and say that. I'm talking to all of you. An administration. It's not for people with titles. Forget the title business. It's become hopelessly sick in the world. Even in the church world. Titles, titles, titles. Here, the builders who were stewards or administrators rejected the stone. They rejected the stone. But he became the chief cornerstone. And in Ephesians 2:20, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus, the chief cornerstone. So God is looking for faithful stewards. And Paul talks about Ephesians 2, stewards of God's grace. In verse 3, and by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. And in verse 4 continues by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. Father, help us. And, you know, Paul never knew where to put full stops. There's one verse after the other running into each other. Verse 9. He felt this conviction, Paul, about his ministry, the grace gift that God had given him. Paul called Peter, who focused on the circumcision. He was more focused on the Jewish people, Peter. But Paul was focused on the uncircumcised, the Gentiles. Now, what is he saying here in verse 9? And to bring to light what is the administration of this mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. Paul was fully aware of his calling. Fully aware of his calling. What I'm saying behind the words, whether God called you to be an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or pastor or teacher, God is looking for stewards, for administrators of this mystery. It's interesting, you know that Jesus walked in all five of the graces of Ephesians 4:11. Jesus was the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Are you listening? He walked in all five of the graces. But which one of the titles did he refer most to refer to himself? He was called the Good Shepherd. Do you know what ministry is sadly lacking in this apostolic season? Is the ministry of a faithful shepherd. The pastoral ministry is disappearing because everybody's jumping on the big titles, on the airplanes and the suitcase. We want to represent the Good Shepherd as well. And I'm leaving that with you. We're going to have to talk more about that. But take this with you now. This mystery, this administration of the mystery, is unveiled. The word revelation means to unveil what is. We've always looked at revelation that something is going to happen one day. To reveal is to unveil, to show what is. This mystery is revealed, has been revealed through the Apostle Paul and the early New Testament church, walked in it. But then the Dark Ages and all the stuff that happened, but God is busy restoring. He's busy restoring a New Testament church which will have administrators, faithful administrators. Ephesians 1:10 says, God is looking for an administration suitable to the end of times. An administration. Administration. Now, Colossians. I've been haunted by a verse in Colossians for a long time, and I want you to listen to it. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. Colossians 3. Be good if you can look at your own. In Colossians 3, verse 1. And that first sentence is a knockout. Listen to this. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection. Can somebody say amen? You can hear this. Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. Many people still wait to be resurrected, but Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. The challenge that we have as Christians, confessing born-again Christians, is to live the resurrection. Live the resurrection. And I find this, our biggest problem, including spirit-filled Christians, our biggest problem is the mind. The mind. We must set our mind on the things from above. Stop looking at the earth and the things that are still, oh, you know what? Did the cross really work for us? The Passion Translation has really caught this. Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. Colossians 3:1. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits, enthroned at that place of all power, honor, and authority. And may I just remind you, Bizweni, Jesus is not sitting somewhere in the universe in a golden chair with a golden crown. Please. He's sitting with all authority and power given to him by the Father in another dimension called the spirit realm, which is amongst us here. One of these days, God's going to open our eyes and we're going to see what is happening. I heard something this week by somebody, don't know where, what, read, what, somewhere. He said, our problem is this. We look at something that is in front of us and that's all we see. Instead of looking through it to the real thing. Whatever happens to you, whatever happens in your life, look beyond the physical. Look beyond that which is natural. Look for the hand of God. That's where reality is. Don't distract me. I'm trying to read Colossians 3 here. Who's distracting me? Listen, verse 2. Feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. Now, how can you fill your thoughts with heavenly realities if all you do is reading comics or reading junk books or listening to the wrong channels on TV? We have challenges. We have challenges. It says, feast on the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. Let me repeat. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. Absorb it. Go and meditate upon that. And now, listen carefully now. Open all your ears. Now, your life is hidden away in God, in Christ. Father, let that absorb us. Let that eat inside of us. Our life is, our natural life is hidden in God, in Christ. And, verse 4. Here's the verse that has haunted me for months. And all right, I'm going to first read the way it says in my New American Standard Bible. It says, when Christ is revealed, you will be revealed with him. That's what I used to read for years. That's there. But I couldn't get the meaning of that. When Christ is revealed, you will be revealed with him. Listen to this, Passion. And as Christ is seen for who he really is, who you are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. If Christ is seen for who he really is, who you are will also be revealed. Come on. Jy moet nou maar by die ou natuurlike brein verbykom. Ons will have to look beyond the we always want to grasp something with a natural mind. And this is beyond that. Our life is hidden with God in Christ. And who we are will be revealed when Christ is seen who he really is. Let me read the Message translation of the same verses. Message version of Colossians 3, 1 to 4. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Act like it. Ag Here, ek het nou 'n pyn, ek kan nou nie meer. Jy kan asseblief help, Here, ek het kan nou nie meer. Now that doesn't act resurrection life. What do you demonstrate there? Ons is almal, sukkel almal daarmee. Somewhere our mind keeps us hostage. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because as a man thinks, so is he. So every morning we should actually, when we get up before we face life, every morning, spend some time and say, I am a new creation. My life is hidden in God, in Christ. I'm not going to live the old life. I'm going to live resurrection life. Is it te veel, mense? Praat ons, ras ek te veel? Are you absorbing this? Let me continue. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. This is describing humanity. This is describing even the Christians. We shuffle. That's all we see. The physical things. Come on, word wakker. Ons het geld nodig. Ons moet regtig 'n bietjie geld gaan. Ons moet we let a depressed mind define who we are. And really, we need each other here. The way we pray for each other. Pray from that point of resurrection life instead of from this point of being defeated. Read again. Don't shuffle along. Eyes to the ground. Absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. Oh, I love this. Whatever happens in your life, look for the hand of God. If it's a tragedy, if it's an accident, look for the hand of God. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, your real life is invisible to spectators. Het julle geweet daar's mense wat met vergrootglase na die Christene kyk? So you confess you're a Christian, but what I'm seeing is something else. Our testimony and our life must be on the same frequency. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you will show up too, the real you, the glorious you. And the last sentence helps me a lot. The last sentence says, meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Obscurity. Let me explain that word. In John 7, we read about the Feast of Tabernacles when Jesus was invited by the disciples to come with them to the Feast of Tabernacles. And you know in this house that we believe, this is what I believe what the Bible is saying, we are in the unfolding of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Are you with me? We've seen the fulfillment of the Feast of Passover in Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. We've seen the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 on the day and date of the Jewish calendar of the Feast of Pentecost. We've never yet seen the Feast of Tabernacles fulfilled like it was in the Jewish calendar. Why? Because Jesus came, when he was born, Emmanuel, God with us, when Jesus was born, he came and tabernacled with man. Actually, he was the beginning of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is continually unfolding through the last 2,000 years. Unfortunately, for many years, it's been dragging, slowly dragging. But there's an acceleration. As we sang their songs here this morning, there's a wind a-blowing. Come on, there's a wind a-blowing. There's a fire falling. And I'm praying for it to hit us. Hoe lang wil ons nog rond soek en dwaal? Are you with me? If even in the corporate worship time, we must have a hungry heart reaching out to God, engaging the Spirit of God. Because the Feast of Tabernacles is busy unfolding and it's reaching its final stage. Now here in the Feast of Tabernacles, John 7, Jesus said, no, I'm not going. My time has not yet come. So they went to the feast. It's normally a 7-day feast. And then Jesus also went, but in secret. In secret. But in the middle of the feast, in the middle of the feast, he stepped into the temple and he began to speak, and the people were awestruck. Jesus is looking for a corporate temple through which to sound his voice like the sound of many waters to fill the earth. But he's waiting to find such a temple, a corporate household, a corporate body of Christ, Corpus Christi. Wat doen ons? 41,000 Christelijke denominations. We're building networks. We're building denominations. We're holding conferences. He's waiting for a place to step in and sound his voice that will be heard across the planet. Acts chapter 3, verse 21, the message says, for the time being, he must remain out of sight until everything is restored as the prophets of old have said. Where is Jesus? He's right here. He's right here, but he's invisible. The Christ in us is the hope of the world. Not the Christ in me, Christ us, corporate, Christ in us. There's a new cult in Pretoria called Christ in Me. It was even on carte blanche. I don't know if it's real or false or what, but I'm just saying, look at the terminology, how the enemy is getting closer and closer. I'm closing. Oh Lord, help me. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. Folks, I want to stop. Romans 8 verse 28 and 29 has new meaning to me. One of my favorite verses, new meaning. Paul says, we know that God will use all things. Come on, repeat that with me. God will use all things to work out for our good, to those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose, those who are connected to his purpose. And verse 29 says, to bring and shape our lives into the life of his son. I'm saying now, God is serious. He's using all things, disasters or whatever, God is using all things for good. And it's towards this revelation of the mystery becoming visible. The mystery is revealed, but it is yet hidden. Acts 1 verse 11 says, when the disciples were staring up into the heavens, two men in white, angels, what did they say? How long are you going to stare into empty skies? That's what he said. How long? You know, many Christians, all they can think of is, they look at the sky, something to happen, something has happened. While in the meantime, God wants it to happen from within his church, his body. Then we will see the outward manifestation. So let's stop looking into empty skies and let's begin to live the resurrection. Father, we claim as we stand, reach your hands to the table. Father, this is not a ritual. This is not an add-on. We know that you said that when we partake of this, do this in remembrance of you. And we know there's a deep meaning to the table of the Lord. Oh, Father, Holy Spirit, help us to, when we take the blood, take the bread, the body, that it will look beyond the substances here and see the reality which is represented with that. In Isaiah 53, by his stripes we were healed. I would look forward to testimonies of healing while we take part of the table, because we believe in the finished works of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? We believe in the finished works of Jesus. Make it real, Holy Spirit, as we partake of the table. Oh God, help us to let our mind not run different directions now, but focus on the finished works of him that was hanging on the cross and said, it is finished. Help us to live the finished works. Help us to demonstrate the finished works in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.